Good morning. It's Monday, November 29th, and time for WQXR's Washington Report. David Sanger, Chief Washington Correspondent for The New York Times, joins us, as he does every week. Good morning, David.
Morning. How are you, Carrie?
I'm good, thanks. David, this time we're talking about WikiLeaks, and WikiLeaks has begun publishing 250,000 leaked United States embassy cables. It's the largest set of confidential documents ever to be released into the public domain. Let's talk a little bit about these documents. Why are they so important?
Well, the WikiLeaks documents in this case are different from those that you've seen before. The previous ones were largely historical. They dealt with Afghanistan and Iraq from a few years ago. These are State Department cables. There are about 250,000 of them, and what they do is give you a very unvarnished view of the conversations that take place between American diplomats and leaders around the world on everything from the Iranian nuclear program to Yemen to why it is that Colonel Gaddafi, when he comes to New York, likes to stay in a tent in the middle of the New York City.
What are some of the more surprising revelations, in your opinion?
Well, if you look at this morning's coverage, two of my colleagues and I focused a great deal on the cables that concern the Iranian nuclear program. There was a news discovery in all of this that the United States believes that North Korea shipped 19 intermediate to long-range missiles to the Iranians that would give the Iranians far more reach with their missile capability than we thought they had. But what was really striking was the conversation among Arab leaders around the Persian Gulf, who were deeply concerned about Iran's nuclear program and in some cases urging the United States to take military action, something they would never say in public, partly for concern about the reaction on their own street.
Do these documents shed any light on North Korea? Were American diplomats aware or even able to predict these latest military bombardments?
They weren't able to predict them. They shed a fair bit of light on North Korea, and I think if readers of the Times website go on late this afternoon and pick up the paper tomorrow, you'll read a fair bit about North Korea. But what you'll learn the most is that the Chinese, who we view as the North Koreans' great and close ally, are frequently as frustrated by the North Koreans as everybody else in the world, and frequently find them impossible to deal with, but also have very poor intelligence about what the North Koreans are about to do. There are several moments where they assure the United States that North Korea will not, for example, set off a nuclear test a couple of weeks before the North Koreans set off a nuclear test. So it does make you wonder a bit about Chinese influence.
There were memos that seemed to show that U.S. embassy workers were asked to act more like spies than diplomats, collecting personal information about the leaders of their host countries. Now, the administration is denying that, but Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has been reaching out to foreign diplomats around the world to sort of smooth things over. So what do you think the international fallout from this leak will be for the U.S.?
You know, there may be, and we spent a fair bit of time in discussions last week with the Obama administration, which asked us to redact a few things, some of which we did, others we did not. We certainly redacted when it looked like the life of a source would be imperiled or that it would hurt a dissident who would come to talk to the United States and so forth. What we didn't redact in most cases were conversations between national leaders and the United States, where the State Department's evidence of harm was, I think, a bit thinner. But in these particular cases, diplomats are asked in one cable to provide credit card information, frequent flyer numbers about people who they come up and deal with. Now, the State Department's very sensitive about this because diplomats are not supposed to be spies. They're supposed to be conducting a diplomatic task. And some diplomats who we've spoken to said they wouldn't actually do what this memo asked them to go do.
So why did the Times publish these confidential documents? I mean, if the government says it'll harm national security, the Times seems to say otherwise.
You know, Carrie, this is the hardest decision that any responsible news organization can make, and we wrestled with this greatly. The few things to remember. First, we weren't the first ones to reveal these documents. They were coming out from WikiLeaks in any case. So the question was, would we ignore the fact that they were out there, or would we put them in the kind of Timesian analysis that I think our readers have come to expect? The second thing is, we went through and redacted damaging information and then urged other newspapers that had this, The Guardian in London, Der Spiegel in Germany, and WikiLeaks itself through those news organizations, to do similar redactions to avoid damage. But there are things that we publish that I know the U.S. government feels would be harmful. Our view, after very lengthy conversations with them, was that our first responsibility is to explain to citizens why it is that the U.S. does what it does around the world. And I remind you that in the run-up to the Iraq War, we had a lot of people complaining that we had not written enough about what the potential effects of going into Iraq would be. So given the Iraq experience, perhaps it's important that we make sure that we have told our readers everything we can about other places around the world where there are concerns about the potential future involvement of American forces or American agents.
Thanks a lot, David.
Thank you, Carrie.
David Sanger is chief Washington correspondent for The New York Times. And that's the Washington Report on Classical 105.9 FM WQXR. I'm Carrie Nolan.